Worst places that you can take a date on Valentine's Day.
Oh, boy.
Your parents' house. Got it.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Staying home. My husband made this mistake one time. I like was so excited to get dressed up and go out. Mm. He said he had something special planned. I got a special outfit and then he made dinner downstairs. And I was like, what is this? Like, are you kidding me? All right, there was that.
They say that that's supposed to be a romantic thing, but if he told you to, like, get dressed up, right?
He didn't tell me to get dressed up. He said he had something very special planned to go get ready, which assumes that we're going somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, he'll never make that mistake again. Going to the movies, people say, is a terrible date for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And the number one thing that they say is a bad place to go on a first date is McDonald's. And it made me giggle because I remember the first Valentine's Day that Paul and I were dating.
Yeah.
And I used the term dating loosely. I'll say that we had started hanging out and there was probably something more happening, but we hadn't really gotten to that step yet.
Yeah, you're not having that conversation yet. It's college after all. I mean, you're hooking up, but you don't want to say that because it sounds terrible.
Well, whatever. And then, so I thought like for Valentine's Day, we would probably do something or whatever. Yeah. It was radio silence, Raven. Like the day before, I didn't hear from him. Valentine's Day, first thing in the morning, I woke up, nothing. And
nothing.
I was like, okay. So I went to McDonald's for breakfast. I went through the drive-thru and I ate it in the car by myself. Most times when I'm feeling sad to self-soothe, I eat McDonald's in my car.
It's a safe space.
Yep. And then after breakfast, I went and I took the class and I saw him and I was like, hey. And he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, nothing. And then he just kept walking like nothing was going on.
He didn't say anything.
Nope.
He didn't say, what are you doing later? Hey, happy Valentine's Day. None of that.
Not a word.
You know, you make my day better. Nothing. No,
got a number three from McDonald's for lunch. I was like, you know what? Give me that chicken sandwich and some fries.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Went back to McDonald's, ate it in my car again, sad.
Okay.
That night, went out with my friends, saw him out. Certainly no flowers, nothing, no mention of, hey, it's Valentine's Day. Do you want to hang out later? You want to like go back and like do maybe watch TV or something like that?
I'm sorry, I was busy earlier.
Yep, left the bar, went directly to McDonald's. Got the apple pie to go with my burger for dinner.
You know what? McDonald's is your love language. So, you know, if you brought me to McDonald's, somebody brought me to McDonald's on the first date, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I don't think so either. Like I looked at this list and now we've been married for, you know, almost 18 years, you know, like next month, it'll be 18 years we've been married. And I look back and I giggle on that day because like I self-soothe three times by going to McDonald's. And if he said, hey, do you want to go to McDonald's for Valentine's Day? I'd probably be like, you know what? I'm going to go by myself. Just like I did our first Valentine's Day. It worked out well for me. Three-word Super Bowl predictions. Now, if you missed it on Friday, Raven, producer John, producer Sean, and I each made predictions on what we thought was going to happen at the game. Let's start with mine. Third quarter shocker. Because, guys, listen, it can mean anything could happen.
Right.
I mean, anything could happen.
What is the definition of a shocker, well, right? You, what you is the threshold like of a shocker?
You got to say this. Did you see that? Well, here's the thing. I'm not really sure what happened during the third quarter that was a shocker because I fell asleep right at the beginning of it.
Good.
And I was so excited to like watch it and to be able to report back on why I was right. What I will say is that I think the Chiefs all of a sudden got their momentum during the third quarter, and that's what made them win the game.
That's shocking.
It was shocking.
Yeah, it was shocking that the Eagles led the
whole time till that.
No, you fell asleep. Actually, the shocking thing that would have possibly taken place during the third quarter was the no call on a call that nearly changed the entire trajectory of the game. So there was a call there where they made a play, and that's supposedly true. It wasn't going to be a catch.
Yeah,
they ran another play, which means as soon as you run another play, you can't go back and challenge it. But yet then they said that play didn't happen.
Okay.
And they allowed the Chiefs to go ahead and challenge that play, but they didn't actually overturn it. So that would have been the shocking thing, but it did not happen.
All right, well, that's not what I should have said halftime shocker because Rihanna's pregnant, but I said third quarter.
Yeah,
all right, let's hear John's prediction.
Slightly missed that one.
Kelce family brawl. I'm calling it. All right? They've been acting all nice in the media. They've gotten mom involved. It's a nice little family. It's all an act.
That didn't happen either, John.
We don't know what happened after the game.
Well, you don't know that?
It's true.
When the Kelce brother that scored the first touchdown for the Chiefs.
You mean Travis Kelce.
Travis.
The biggest tight end that's ever played.
I don't remember which is which, yeah. Okay? I just know that they're the brothers. But the other one, they panned to the brother to see his reaction, and he was just eating a granola bar. Did you see him just eating a granola bar in the sideline?
I actually do remember that exactly. And I remember thinking, is that
before,
a protein
right?
bar or a granola bar?
They're not going to brawl. I think that they're just proud of each other. They said it was going to make for an interesting podcast this week. That's what they said.
I mean, they're both players in the NFL. They're doing fine. They just played in the Super Bowl. I mean, somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose.
We don't know what happened.
Let's listen to Sean's prediction.
Tom Brady announcement. Tom Brady's going to use the clout of the Super Bowl to keep himself relevant. I mean, he just did a thirst trap photo. Like, the dude's just trying everything he can to keep himself in the news and the media. Maybe it's going to be him saying he's going to be a coach. Maybe he's going to unretire again.
Nothing from Tom Brady.
No, he
Nothing.
Did tweet that he was watching the game, but that was basically it.
Not much of an announcement, right?
He also did tweet that he didn't know what to do with his hand since he wasn't playing in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not really anything having to do with him. Guys, we're 0-3. Do you think that maybe we can find some redemption in Ravens' three-word Super Bowl prediction?
I forgot what I said.
Let's find out.
Rocky wins again. Yep. I say Philadelphia takes this thing. It's going to be surprising to some, but they're going to beat Kansas City. Rocky wins again.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. All right. Well, I guess our predictions weren't that great this year. Although you could argue that me falling asleep during the third quarter when I was so pumped was shocking.
Not at all shocking.
Not shocking to anybody in this room.
No.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? You want to get it off your chest? Start the week off right? Call 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Carrie.
When you're driving down the street and you throw trash out your window, that's all I need to know about you.
I hate litter bugs.
Litter bugs.
You know what? It's all terrible, all right? Because all I think of is a poor seagull somewhere who's got a bird brain, who just wants to eat something, and now it's choking on something here.
The dolphins.
Very, very sad. Right. Well, dolphins not normally on the side of the road in this area.
No, but they have to deal with
they could
those
be somewhere.
Things. Yeah.
Right. No, they could be somewhere. Right.
They have problems, too, in the ocean.
Right. No, I'm with that. But, you know, what really upsets me is when I see the entire, like, fast food bag. Yeah. It's in a bag.
They threw the whole bag out
exactly.
the window.
It's in a bag.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, go to where you're going and then carry the bag and just put it somewhere else.
You're right. That's terrible. Taylor, that's all I need to know about you.
If the first thing you ask me when I move in next door to you is, are you two married? That's all I need to know about you. I mean, what is that? Not, hi, I'm Karen. Pleased to meet you. But the first thing you ask is, are you two married? What is that?
Was that a neighbor? What happened?
Yeah, the neighbor. We just moved in. Actually, we're still moving things in. Hi, are you two married?
Well.
And that's it?
Right. You can be curious. That's one thing, right? And then you can gossip around the neighborhood, right?
Nosy neighbor.
But don't be that person right? that's like, I mean, that sounds pretty old school to me, right? Is that your 90-year-old neighbor that comes over? Are you two married? How about none of your business?
Right.
No, we're living in sin, and we're loving it.
Yeah.
We are loving
and
it.
And this we're is pagan. Where we're starting?
Yeah, we're pagans in here, actually.
I would never even think to ask somebody that. Never in a million years, right?
We've got new neighbors moving in down the street, and of course, everybody's going to pay attention. Everybody will be out walking. I swear some people in our neighborhood go to get dogs just so that they can walk around and be nosy.
Andrew, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if your Super Bowl party is so loud that nobody can have a conversation and hear you, that's all I need to know about you.
Some people, they like it cranked. Like, I can't even be in the sports bar if it's that loud. I got to be able to talk. Like, I get it, man. You got surround sound. But so does everybody else in America now, right?
It's like I'm standing right in front of somebody and, like, screaming and can't hear them.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts.
Yeah, that's not for me.
I don't know if my hearing is going. I don't know what the problem is, but I feel like I can never hear the TV anymore. Sometimes my husband will walk into a room and he'll be like, are you deaf?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the problem because I can't hear it.
A lot of the streaming stuff, like, the volumes go up and down so much. I mean, maybe that's just how it is on my Netflix, but that's how it seems. Like, some shows I can hear perfectly and other ones I can't hear at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing that I do now is that I always turn the television down. I feel like I can tell what's going on with the show without even hearing it.
That's not a real thing.
No, I do. I feel like half the time, like, I know the characters. I know where it's going to end up, basically, when I'm watching it. So I'm just like, all right. Get to the action scenes. That's it. I don't even have the volume up. My wife always complains about that.
Dina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you get so upset with your friend that you storm out of the Super Bowl party, that's all I need to know about you. My boyfriend, he made us leave because he got so upset over some super play.
I mean, I hope you had enough dips and chips before you left.
Right. It's got to be after halftime. I'm not missing the show, so.
Who had the dumbest argument of the weekend?
Mm.
Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, me, we all get together and we discuss this every Monday. I had a dumb argument with my toddler, Dakota.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have lots of dumb arguments with her. Dakota, all of a sudden, every once in a while, decides that her legs are tired and they don't work anymore.
Sure.
And when that happens, then she wants to be carried. She is 43 pounds and 4 years old. It has gotten to the point where it is difficult for me to carry her everywhere we go.
Mm.
So I have arms full of groceries. We're going up the stairs. She stops midway, starts screaming like a maniac, and this is what happens. Your legs don't work because it's too cold?
Yeah.
I think they'll work. Can you please walk up?
But I can't.
Please can't. Try.
But I don't like it.
Nope.
I know.
I don't like going up the steps.
Yep.
Yeah. You need to get a house that's down, all right? Like, it's got a down slope. You pull into the driveway, and you kind of roll down the stairs under the front door. Then she might be more into it.
But yeah, but then you got to leave.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go up.
It's true.
I don't know what was a dumber argument, that one that I had with her or last night when she wanted to go down the stairs backwards with her eyes closed. And I told her that that was not a smart idea. That was not a good choice. And then she screamed and argued with me to let her do it.
Doesn't seem safe.
She didn't even want to hold the guardrail. I tried to negotiate with her. I'm like, hold the handrail going down if you want to go down backwards with your eyes closed. No. She didn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Producer Sean, you had an argument with your girlfriend about some movie. Here's what it sounded like.
Well, then how's that like a good film?
It is, because you use your imagination and you use deduction.
Like math?
I don't just care.
That's evident, but I'm just saying it made no sense.
That's great. You keep it to yourself.
What happened?
What movie?
It was called Hollow's Floating Castle. First of all, the castle walked. It didn't float. Already dumb, already mad about that.
Yeah.
And she's like, but it's so good. I'm like, there's the plot to it is all over the place. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 hours. How can you have a 2.5 hour movie and have it make no sense?
Are you one of those people that you want to know what happens at the end of the story? Is that it? Is it you want the
No,
the...
I like a little bit of mystery, but this whole entire movie was mystery.
Okay.
Like it just made no sense. She's like, it's the best film of all time. Wrong, babe.
Yeah, okay. I mean, sometimes people just like to, you know, fill in the blanks with their, you know, their imagination. Right?
Yeah.
It sounds like that's not for you.
And deduction.
And deduction.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
I had an argument with my wife. It went like this.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. We're having an argument over soda. I'm not allowed to have Coca-Cola
We're
soda.
We're having an argument because you won't stop eating and drinking all the stuff you're not supposed to have. It's only here for one purpose. When you have a little bit of a hangover and you need a little Coca-Cola.
When I have a hangover.
When anybody has one.
Uh-huh.
And you need it to bring you back to life a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I can't have a Coca-Cola today on Super Bowl Sunday.
You're already having Sprite today.
I'm not having Sprite. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to drink beer.
Okay, so now you're going to have beer and soda.
Then I was more in trouble at the end of that. Yeah. Like, how's that possible on Super Bowl Sunday?
All right. Now, who had the dumbest argument? Raven, you vote.
I'm going to say Sean. You can't engage with a pregnant woman over what she believes to be a good movie and not a bad movie. Like, all of us are guilty of this, of engaging in these arguments that we knew we should have backed out of. But your girlfriend's pregnant, and that makes you the dumbest.
Okay, I'm going to say, Raven, that your argument was the dumbest, because I know you have that argument on the daily with Alicia.
Oh, my gosh, all the time.
And I don't understand how that's still an argument. And I don't know. At this point, if I was Alicia, I would just give up on you and be like, do what you want. Do what you want.
She says that.
I personally have to go with Raven on this one, just because I think it's dumb when people try to control what you should be eating and drinking.
Well,
it's
when
Super
you're married.
Bowl Sunday. Yeah.
Sorry, Raven.
Please, that doesn't make an excuse.
It's a holiday.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? I guess it's pretty obvious that Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles trending. No surprise there. Chiefs came from behind to win Super Bowl 57. They beat the Eagles 38-35. Here is the final call.
Here we go. Hurts going to throw it as far as his arm can take it, which is well short. And the Kansas City Chiefs have won Super Bowl 57.
And I know you're going to start talking about ref stuff, Raven, because there was a lot of talk about the refs and the calls. I don't understand all that. I just know that the Chiefs won.
Listen, I mean, here's the thing. Neither of these teams are my teams. I was going for the Eagles. There were a couple calls that definitely, you know, were somewhat controversial. But that's really it.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes was awarded MVP of the Super Bowl. He was asked if the Chiefs were a dynasty. Here's what he said.
I'm not going to say dynasty yet. We're not done. Okay. So I'm not going to say dynasty yet. I just want to shout out my teammates, man. We challenged each other. It took everybody to win this football game. So shout out my teammates, baby. We're Super Bowl champs, baby. Let's go.
You know, this is my biggest problem, honestly, is when we're always looking for the next hero, right? The media. So it's always, you know, what is a dynasty or whatever? And they had won one championship up until last night. So they're a very good team. There's no question about it. You know, I think that he said the right thing in that spot.
I know that he had injuries, and I know that when he went down in the second quarter.
Well.
Right. Like when I saw him like make that face like he was in pain and then I was like, oh, no, it's over. And for him to come back and somebody like me that doesn't really understand everything. And I'm like, he just keeps throwing the ball and they just keep catching it.
Yeah, couple,
I'm like, that's got to be good.
Couple cortisone shots. Right. Little painkiller and a whole bunch of adrenaline. You can get through the next 30 minutes.
And there's a lot of talk about the Kelce brothers playing against each other. Actually, we always say the Kelce brothers. They said in an interview a couple years ago, it's Kelce. We started, like, people, the media started saying Kelce. They pronounce it Kels, which is random, but anyway. So the first time in history, if you missed it, there are brothers on opposing teams. And this is what the Chiefs' Travis Kelce, or Kelce, however you want to say it, had to say about the people that doubted them.
Yeah, don't ever say Kelce.
Man, one of y'all said the Chiefs were going to take it home this year. Not a single one. And on top of that, next time the Chiefs say something, put some respect on our name.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's Patrick Mahomes said the right thing, and Travis Kelce, everybody picked you. If they didn't pick you, they picked the Bills, and don't be mad about it. I mean, you're just, I get it. You're using it as motivation, but everybody said the Chiefs were going to be great, so don't act like they didn't.
At the start of the game, before the game even began, there was a lot of controversy because Dak Prescott from the Cowboys was introduced as the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
I know, this was terrible.
It was so bad.
So terrible.
Listen, the whole crowd booed him.
Oh, man.
And now, let me welcome your newest Walter Payton Man of the Year, Dak Prescott.
I mean, the man just... a year full of great work.
Like so much community service. And I didn't understand. I'm like, why is everybody like booing them? And my husband looks over. He's like, that's just Philly. That's Philly fans. I'm like, okay, honey.
I mean, that's not just Philly. I mean, Arizona hates Dallas, too. Yeah. They all hate Dallas universally over in that area. So
and then it was about the music. Babyface sang America the Beautiful.
Yeah. The amount of people in my house that were like, Babyface is still alive?
Oh, that's so messed up.
I loved Babyface growing up.
And you didn't hear a lot about Chris Stapleton singing the national anthem?
He crushed it.
Oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, the land of the free and the
home of the brave.
Nice.
Everybody was crying, all the players. I'm like, man, there are like some real tears on the field. But Rihanna had everybody Googling the same thing, including my mom, which I thought was crazy. That's coming up next. Whether or not you thought Rihanna did a great job last night at the Super Bowl halftime show, there's one thing you know for sure.
Mm.
She's got a lot of bangers, man. She's got a lot of hits. I mean, this could go on for like another like 10 minutes.
I got to tell you, the thing that really blew my mind was how much of her hits that I wanted to hear was missing.
Few things. Facts first.
Okay.
She had 29 different playlists because she could not figure out which songs to cut and which to keep. I mean, when you have that many hits, it's hard to figure that out. You only have 12 minutes to perform. That's all that the NFL gives you.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, she's got to figure out what she wants to represent in that amount of time.
Right. Two. The one thing everybody was Googling was she pregnant?
Yep.
Yes, she's pregnant. And here's the conversation that happened at the Super Bowl party I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Because she comes out and she touches her belly. And the first thing that crosses my mind is, wait a minute, is she pregnant? And then I was like, No. And then I get mad at myself. I go, she just had a baby.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to myself, too. I was like, in my mind, it was like 3 months ago, even though I'm wrong.
Right. That's the first thing. But then
she was rubbing it.
She was, right? she was rubbing it. And I was like, I started talking to the guys because the guys are like, oh. And then Danielle, my best friend, is like, wait, no. And I think she's pregnant again. I'm like, she just had the baby. And then we immediately started Googling.
Yeah.
I was like, no, she had the baby in May. And, you know, the reason why you forget this is because they're very private people.
She's been very private. Yeah, she hadn't been out in public all that much with it.
We don't know the baby's name.
No.
To this day, we don't know the baby's name.
Yeah, I think they've been photographed like twice.
Twice, yeah. And we didn't see the baby until December, just a couple months ago. No. So in my mind, this all happened so soon that she was just recovering. And I looked very pregnant for a long time after I had the baby. Yeah.
So like all the girls at my party, they were all like, well, she's not getting low. She's not this. I was like, she just had a baby.
Yeah.
I was like, give her some slack. Like, I thought she was phenomenal. What bothered you the most? That she didn't bring out Jay-Z?
No.
Because that's what a lot of people were complaining about at my place is, where's the guests?
Well, where's the guests? That's the thing. Because when it comes to the Super Bowl halftime show, if it's a Rihanna show, it's a different story. You go there just to see her sing, and you want to see her sing. But the halftime show is a show. And I like when there's a lot of surprises and bling and like all kinds of like, oh my gosh, like, and there wasn't that. And her dancers were great, but it basically looked like it was a scene out of Squid Game. They were just all dressed in the same uniform. There were no costume changes. There was no like, all of a sudden there's smoke and then there was something else. It just seemed to me, oh God, I'm sorry for saying this, boring.
Wow.
You know,
I mean, I thought visually it was maybe the best one that you've seen as far as a visual thing. Like, it looked different on television than any show that you've seen before. I thought it was spectacular in that regard. I thought it was completely innovative in the fact that, you know, it looked different than anything else. I commend her for doing it all by herself. And I got to tell you, typically I'm the guy is I do want the guests. I felt like she earned it all yesterday. I thought that she made a real statement during that show. I thought it was phenomenal. I did.
When she started singing All of the Lights, I was like, is she going to bring Kanye out? Because that would be really controversial and shocking. And then I was like, nope. And then I'm like, Kanye's probably just sitting in a corner somewhere crying.
She gave the hints during the week, man. She said that, you know, that this is all me. She's like that I am handling this. I am choosing what's this, that, whatever. Again, I commend her. I thought the stage design was very innovative. I thought it was amazing. And listen, I don't ever want to be that high in my life. She was way up there, girl. She was way up there.
I don't know how far along she is in the pregnancy, but I will say that however far along she was, I would be on the couch. So I do give her credit for doing it while being pregnant.
You know, her doctor was like, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
A 30-second spot during the Super Bowl last night was between $6 and $7 million.
Mm.
Can you imagine that kind of cash? But I guess if a company's got it and they want to get their message out there, this is the time to do it, right?
Well, listen, I mean, the main thing is when you're marketing is to get it in front of as many people as possible. There's 180 million people watching the Super Bowl worldwide. Good way to get your name out there.
Yeah, so these are a couple of the ones that stood out to me. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez teamed up to be featured in a Dunkin' ad. So here is Ben. He's putting on the thick and like the Boston accent and he's working the drive through. So it's like the surprise of all the people as they pull up and they realize it's Ben Affleck. My favorite is when the guy doesn't know who he is. Right. And then a surprise guest shows up through the drive through.
Like, how can it be this inexpensive and good?
What are you doing here?
Ask me if I'm
like, is this what you do when you say you're going to work all day?
I got to go, guys.
Grab me a glaze.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, everybody sees him out with Dunkin' all the time as being a regional guy up from the New England area. He's a big fan of Dunkin' before it even went nationwide. And people see him all the time, those paparazzi shots. So
I just wonder, like, how much did they get paid to do that commercial together?
Huge money.
Huge
money.
Right?
Pay for the new house together.
Oh.
I love the old characters. Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul were back as Walter White and Jesse Pinkman for Breaking Bad for Popcorners.
No. These are the bomb.
And they're air popped, not fried.
Popcorners? You're an artist.
Actually, Jesse, it's just basic ingredients. No, we don't eat our own supply.
Mr. White!
What are these?
We call them popcorners.
Say their name.
Popcorners!
I mean, if you watch the show, I mean, just the fact that they're so still in the role. And then they bring in, that's not Nacho. What's that guy's name? I don't even know. But, you know, they bring that guy in and he's in character too. It's just fun to see those characters back on screen.
I thought it was really edgy for Popcorners to take that route.
They can talk about anything and it sounds exactly like they're still talking about what they were making in Breaking Bad.
The one that confused me and annoyed me was, so Crown Royale, that's the Canadian whiskey. They got Dave Grohl to do their ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what it sounded like.
Today, let's thank Canada. Thank you for legends of music. Thank you, Canada, for peanut butter, the paint roller. Thank you for creating the replay, battery, the egg carton, the ironing board, the electric wheelchair, Hawaiian pizza.
Hold on, time out. I don't want to thank Canada for Hawaiian pizza. I think that if they're the ones responsible for that, then they should be apologizing.
I just asked the question, where's the proof? But okay.
All right, and then he continues.
Thank you for giving us hockey, basketball, and thank you for football.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Look it up.
Oh.
Thank you, Canada.
I mean, I like Crown Royal. That's good. I'll drink it.
Yeah, but
put it in front of me.
First thing I Googled, I go, wait a minute. I didn't know Dave Grohl was Canadian. He's not. He's not. So why would he be doing that commercial thanking Canada? And during the Super Bowl, the American thing, I don't want to thank Canada.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's money.
People.
I'm guessing it's the money that they paid him to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
And I know he likes Rush.
Okay.
And, yeah, and some of the other stuff. Right, right. I like the E-Trade Babies was really good, too. But speaking of rock stars, I like the rock star ad.
Hey, corporate types, would you stop calling each other rock stars?
You're a rock star.
You know what it takes to be a rock star?
I've crashed hotel rooms in 43 countries.
I was on the road since I was 16.
Who's the new guy?
Hi, I'm Oswald.
Hello, Oswald.
Give it up for Pam. Pam, you are a rock star. I wasn't going to say it.
I got to tell you, Paul Stanley looks better than Ozzy and Billy Idol. Everybody looked really, really old, man.
I couldn't even recognize some of them because they looked so unrecognizable.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. Tom Rock from Newsday came on last week to give me three things to say to sound smart at my Super Bowl party, okay? So he started by saying this tip.
I remember Patrick Mahomes' father used to pitch for the Mets because he used to be with the Mets. He was a baseball player back in 1999 and 2000 seasons when the Mets were good. They were going to the playoffs. They went to the World Series. Pat Mahomes, as he was called then, his father, was one of the big relief pitchers for the Mets.
So we learned that fact, which I definitely didn't know before that interview.
I mean, I'm a pretty big football fan, and I honestly don't think that I had heard that.
Right. So I was so excited at my Super Bowl party last night, and I tried it out.
You know about his dad, right? His dad was a relief pitcher for the Mets, and then he grew up in the outfield and the dugout boy. He was in the dugout the day that Bobby Valentine got kicked out of the game and came back with the like fake mustache and the fake sunglasses. Yeah. He was a baseball player, too. He could have played either sport professionally.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, he probably was a pitcher, right? He has an arm.
You know Anna's going to take over Joe Buck's job.
Yeah.
Who's Joe Buck?
The follow-up would have been like, huh? If the position's open, why not?
It's not bad, though. Not bad, right?
It's not bad. You tried it off in that room. I mean, one of those guys sounds like he's in the bathroom down the hallway.
Yeah.
I can't understand a word of what he's saying, but it sounds like he was, you know, positively taking the information you gave him.
And having a full conversation about it. He didn't know that it was scripted.
See that?
That was working.
Right.
All right, then Tom Rock told me to say this.
you got to be rooting for Kelsey, right?
Well, because they're both on both teams. That I know.
There you
right?
go. That's
yes.
right. That's right. So you say I'm rooting for Kelsey. Yeah.
Okay. So I had to bring up Kelsey at some point. And it was perfect because the first touchdown for the Chiefs was by Kelsey. Now, here's the truth. I don't know which Kelsey's on which team.
Travis Kelsey's for the Chiefs.
Right. But I know one makes
Jason
touchdowns and one doesn't
right.
do that. So,
yeah.
So here's how it went when he made that first touchdown. I'm like, here's my chance to see.
Right.
You know who's the real winner? Donna Kelsey. Imagine both your kids in the Super Bowl. Like, they have to buy her a house, right? Right? You would think.
See? Look. Everyone seemed like completely like they knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's over the Kelsey story, though. I feel like that was a hard one to do at the Super Bowl. I feel like everybody had heard it forever. Whenever my wife would bring it up, it just rolled my eyes during the game.
All right. I thought they were going to talk about it a lot more, and they really didn't. I thought it would be like
because
an ongoing storyline.
Because, again, they had
beaten
that horse to death in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl.
And then Tom Rock from Newsday was talking about Aaron Rodgers and how he's going to this, like, retreat after the Super Bowl.
Darkness retreat,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, this is what he said.
you know, it's almost time for my off-season darkness retreat. And the darkness retreat, of course, is, Aaron Rodgers, who's reportedly going to be spending about 4 days in sensory isolation to contemplate his football future.
Right.
Such a weirdo.
Now, this one was, like, harder to bring up because, like, how do you randomly bring that up?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and this is what I said.
Did you guys hear about Aaron Rodgers, that he's going to go on a 4-day silence retreat after this to reflect on whether he still wants to play? What a weirdo, huh?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that at all.
Who's Aaron Rodgers?
In complete darkness, he locks himself in a room for 4 days. Yeah.
I feel like everybody got wise at your party. They figured out that you were doing something here because now they're playing with you. I mean, clearly your husband knows who Aaron Rodgers is.
Then I got confused because I'm like, did I say the wrong name? I was like, did I say the wrong guy's name? And then he said that. I go, maybe it was Jacob Rogers?
Doug Rogers, anybody, right? Frank. Right.
Overall, yeah. I sounded like I knew what I was talking about. Engaged in conversation. Thanks, Tom. It worked. If you're single and brave, there's a good chance you're going out for a first date for Valentine's Day. But if you are doing that, which a lot of people are, it's a thing this year, what are the things you should never do? Karen Thomas is an etiquette expert. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, first date no-nos, especially for Valentine's Day.
So do this. If you're going to stalk and you know you're going to stalk any first date online, do it ahead of time. So if you feel uncomfortable with what you found online on, you know, social media, that you cancel in enough time. Do not call on Valentine's Day and cancel. That's first and foremost. So let's say they checked out. You're good. You're going on that date. Don't go super romantic. You don't really know this person that well. So I would say refrain from buying anything personalized or anything super mushy. So now we're on the date, okay? Let's not talk about our exes. Let's not go into, well, this guy did this and blah, 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 this and that. Focus on talking to each other and getting to know each other. These are just a few things that you want to keep in mind for a first date, especially on Valentine's Day.
You know, Karen, I think obviously it's always a great reminder to tell people, don't talk about your past relationship because it's an easy thing to fall right into.
But
right?
What if they ask?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is you got to be prepared, I think, you know, for a question on Valentine's Day. Like you got to say something about the fact that it's a big day to have a first date. Right. There's pressure with it. So it's almost like
huge. You
share your Valentine's Day war stories. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
That's a very bad idea because now you're almost setting expectations like, you know, you should live up to this. My ex did X, Y, and Z,
right.
So you shouldn't do that. If the other person does ask, you know what, make it just quick and simple. Oh, you know, we just weren't compatible. But here's another thing, too. We're on the date, and let's say that you've made it through. You just know this person is not for you. You really don't want to see them ever again. Make sure you do this. Don't lead that person on. Maybe you're not a person to talk to, you know, face to face, and you're at the end of the date, you're done, and he says, I'd like to see you again, and you say, okay. If you really have that bad taste in your mouth and you're like, I'm not going to see this person again, make sure you text that person afterwards and say, you know what, I wasn't feeling it or whatever. Don't let it go on. Don't let it fester. Don't lead anybody on.
Okay, I have a question, Karen. After how long have you been dating that you can't break up via text anymore? Because I said 6 weeks. If you've been dating up to 6 weeks, you can still break up by text. After 6 weeks, you have to do it face-to-face.
That's a pretty good timeline for that because at this point, you've gotten to know the person a little more in depth. 6 weeks gives you plenty of time to figure out whether this is going to work or not. After that, you absolutely must do a phone call and never an email.
Raven thinks it's okay to break up via text forever now.
He thinks
that's just the way to do it.
I just feel like there's so many other things that we do on our phones and on the computer. I mean, I don't have to worry about it. I'm married, but it just seems to me like everything else is being done this way.
Yeah, but you need closure. Like, what if I want to be like, why? Is it something I did? Is it something I said? Is it something I wore? Is it my breath?
Yeah, but how often in a relationship do you really truly get closure? I guess if you get to ask the question and they tell you no to your face, it makes a difference. But, you know, most of the time, closure is an illusion.
If you're going to break up by text and be, at least include an explanation why.
Whatever it is, but it is good to have that because, again, and text and social media and all that, but don't be posting all this stuff on social media either. That's a definite no-no. But, again, text is quick and easy. You could do it. But after 6 weeks or maybe even 8 weeks, at that point, you should have established a rapport where you need to really just make that phone call, bite the bullet, do the phone call. And then, you know what? If after that doesn't work out, you could always block that person.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
KTetiquette.com. That is Karen Thomas's website. She's an etiquette expert. Thanks, Karen. All about the Super Bowl commercials going between $6 and $7 million for a 30-second spot. But which were the ones that hit and which were the ones that missed? Michael Fields is the Vice President and Executive Creator Director at Mason. What did you think, Michael?
I got to tell you, I thought it was a great show. I thought there were so many great ideas that were produced and funny and humorous, and I saw some trends happening. I thought it was a great time.
It seems to me, Michael, that honestly, I felt like the commercials were kind of back this time, right? Like, we've had years where they weren't all that funny, and they were decent last year, but it felt like this year, big push for movies to get people back to theaters. I felt like that message was coming through loud and clear. And then just, you know, stars, star power in the other commercials, you know, and funny, plenty of humor. Whereas, you know, some of the past years, maybe it's been a little bit more serious more recently.
I think you're exactly right. I was actually reading one of the polls that came out, and I think it said that, like, it was the first time in years where, like, 70-something percent were actually based on humor, and only a minor percent had a serious tone. Mm. So I think we can see that. And I think a lot of it reflects the mood of the country. But it just felt good again, to your point, that there was more ads that felt more uplifting and positive and brought a smile to our faces.
So, Michael, I feel like some of them definitely hit and some went over a lot of people's heads. Which ones do you think were the best ones of the day?
I loved the Popcorners spot, the Breaking Bad spot. You know, I mean, I personally love Breaking Bad. The attention to detail and craft in that spot.
Yo, these are the bomb.
And they're air popped, not fried.
Popcorners? You're an artist.
Actually, Jesse, it's just basic ingredients.
You know, they used the original RV from season one. They brought back a lot of the classic lines like "Say my name,"
right?
You know, and for me, that's just what I want. It's awesome. I thought that was one of my favorites. Actually, the one near the end of the Super Bowl, the Tubi spot, this prank ad. I don't know if you guys saw that one where, you know, it looked like they were using the remote was changing the channel and doing all this.
Right. Freaked me out for a minute.
Yeah. I'm like yelling at my one son. I'm like, dude, put the game back on. What are you doing? And he's like, I swear it's not me. I'm like, it's not funny. Come on. You know? And they really totally got me. And I didn't even realize it was a prank ad. I thought my foot was hitting the remote or something. And then, you know, by the time I read Adweek or whatever, and I realized it was this prank ad, I was like, I loved it even more that they got me. And
yes.
Like, I'm going to know Tubi. I'm going to share that story. I'm going to talk about that. I thought that was a great ad. Probably the biggest idea to me was an ad that didn't run during the Super Bowl for Anytime Fitness. It ran before. So they were not paying the $7 million for a 30-second spot. But what they did is they gamified the ad during the Super Bowl. So anytime you heard the word anytime, if you tweeted about it.
During this year's big game, you'll have a chance to win a trip to anywhere in the world. There's an Anytime Fitness. Anytime you hear the word anytime. Just tweet hashtag just heard anytime as soon as you hear anytime.
The commercial was so simple and brilliant, and the idea and strategy to invite you to engage throughout the entire Super Bowl and to really have you as a consumer pay attention. Fans can play a game within the game, I thought was absolutely brilliant.
Michael Fields, VP, Executive Creative Director at Mason, thank you so much for taking the time and thanks for watching the game and reporting back with us.
It was great. Thanks for having me.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Hey, every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Alicia and Frank. Alicia, what happened?
Okay, so Frank has been getting these massages, these sports massages, because he plays tennis and he's got like aches and pains that go along with playing a lot of tennis. So he's been going like once every month for the last 6 months to get a sports massage. And he talks about like how great his therapist is. I was like, great, good for you. And I happened to go with him this last time. And this place is not like a physical therapy place. This is like a spa.
And he goes to a regular, like, massage therapist who's hot and young. And it has nothing to do, I don't know, I just was picturing, the picture that he painted was so different than what was actually happening. And I don't want to sound like weird, jealous wife, but I just, like, I don't know. I just don't understand.
So you want him to switch to a man? Is that what you're asking? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. I mean, that's what he made it sound like, so I just think it's weird.
Frank, what's your side of this?
Well, I never said it was a guy. Why does it matter if it's a guy or not? I mean, it's someone giving me a massage, and it's an important part of my healing or recuperation, whatever you want to call it, from all the tennis I play. I think that's totally reasonable.
I understand that. That is reasonable. And I just thought it was really strange that you, like, you were describing the whole scenario, and it was so different than when I actually went to, like, it's a spa.
It's not
you
so
talked
different.
About it.
What's different about it?
I thought you were going to, like, a physical therapy place.
I mean, I would have to agree. I don't think the building matters at all, right? You go into a place where people are doing physical therapy, it's going to smell like BO. I mean, if you go to a spa, they certainly, they're licensed masseuse. So they have sports massages and therapeutic massages and all those things, right? I mean, I don't think that's the issue. I think it is also funny, though, Frank, that, you know, you talked about your therapist and how amazing they were for 6 months, and never once in any one of those conversations did the gender or sex be implied even through conversation. You know, like, I mean, that's kind of funny. On the other hand, you know, some people, Anna, you know, some people prefer the opposite sex to be their massage therapist, and other people don't, right? So right. That's a thing.
I just, in my mind, would think, like Alicia thinks, like, if he says he's going to his therapist for his physical therapy sports massage, I think he walks into, like, an office building that has, like, a, you know, like a table somewhere, not into a spa where it's just, like, a hot young woman that's giving him a massage under a table
exactly.
In a dark room.
I mean, listen, there's no implication that he would walk in, you know, to a regular physical therapist office and have a guy named Hank or whatever, you know, rubbing him down, and that dude would be a big, burly man either. I mean, somebody can be attractive anywhere they are. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a deal breaker. And if you're getting great results, I mean, to me, that's what it would be all about. But that's just me.
All right, let's see what the audience has to say, because maybe they agree with you, Alicia. It was shady the way that he portrayed, like, what he was doing as if it was a medical thing, when in reality he's just going to get a massage from, like, a pretty girl. But maybe they see Frank's side, too. What's the big deal? It's just a massage. It's a medical thing, I guess. And, it, you know, it's just a... Oh, surprise! She's pretty. Big deal.
Yeah. Bonus. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's not a matter of, is it wrong that he has a female masseuse? It's a matter of, is it wrong that he didn't tell the whole truth that he was going to an attractive woman masseuse when he played it off that he was going to a sports therapist every single week?
I find it ridiculous, honestly, that you have to just, you know, relay that information to people all the time. It seems to me maybe Alicia is overly sensitive and he knew this, and this is why he didn't want to imply it. I mean, he brought his wife with him to his last massage, so obviously it wasn't something that he was really hiding. I mean, if you walk into a gas station, do you have to tell somebody when you get home that the clerk was attractive and smiled at you? Seems a little bit crazy.
That's what's going on between Alicia and Frank. Frank, for 6 months, has been going to quote-unquote sports massage therapy. She finally realized, no, he's just going to a spa and has the same masseuse who happens to be this pretty young girl, and he's never once brought it up. Now, I'm looking at the Facebook messages, and I think, from what I'm seeing so far, a lot of women are on the same size. Tanya wrote, I think the real issue is that it was implied that it was sports therapy. He should have been more honest from the beginning, and this could have been avoided. When you leave out the details, it seems like you're hiding something.
We're making a lot of jumps here. You're telling me they don't offer sports massage at spas? Why is it that he has to go to some place that does physical therapy? That makes no sense whatsoever.
I know, but I feel like if you're a wife and your husband says that he's going to like his sports therapy, you assume he's going to a doctor's office.
If you say he's going to, I mean, we weren't there. Did he say he's going to get a sports massage? That's what he said.
Something doesn't smell right. What do you think? 1-800-330.
It's the other people in the sports place.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court. It's not the whole truth. That's kind of where my stance is on it. It's not. Alicia and Frank, Frank's been going to quote-unquote sports therapy massage for 6 months. He's got tennis issues with his arms or whatever. But, you know, he talks about going to sports therapy massage. He just kind of says it just like that. Alicia was under the impression he was going somewhere like an office or like, and then he finds out he's going to a spa and the masseuse happens to be a very attractive young woman. And he feels like she feels like he was lying to her this whole time.
It's not the whole story. The whole story is he brought her with him. It wasn't a secret. He brought Alicia with him to the last one. If it was a secret, she would have went in the parking lot and seen him walking out, and it would have been all nefarious and whatnot. It's a spa where they offer sports therapy masseuse. I mean, what's the problem? Uh-huh. It seems like there's no problem. I just, it's amazing to me how people say, like, you know, you have to divulge everything that you do, every room that you walk into. That's strange.
What do you think? It was a long time that she was unaware of where he was going and the fact that it was a woman. Would you be upset by that? 1-800-330-9999. Donna, whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on his side. I mean, I think he wasn't very forthcoming about the gender of this person that's been giving him these massages because he knows his wife. He knew she was going to react a little weird this way. But it doesn't sound to me like he's out for, you know, any kind of kinky stuff. He just needs his sports massage. And it frankly sounds like, you know, it would probably be a lot more expensive if he went to a sports therapist. You know what I mean?
You've got a point. When you get into specialties, oftentimes, you're right, it is going to cost a little bit more. And what's wrong with going to a place that smells nice and looks nice and your attendant is nice? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think there's a stereotype about women that work in these places, and I think it's not necessarily, you know, always the case.
Of course. Thank you. I would imagine it's mostly not the case.
Of course not, but the bigger issue is that he purposely kept the information from her because he knew that there would be an issue, or he felt guilty, and question is why did he feel guilty for not telling the truth?
Is Alicia too sensitive? Hey, Leon, whose side are you on today?
Oh, definitely his. She should be happy that he only goes once a month, not three times a week.
Thanks for the call. Kelly, whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. I think she's a little insecure, and I'm not sure if she would have preferred him to come home and say that he's getting a massage from a hot therapist.
Right.
Well, would I? I'm trying to think.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe just mention it. Maybe casually mention it. But, like, she's really pretty. You cool with that? I'd be like, I guess. What am I going to do now? We've been married for 15 years.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Frank, our audience agreed with you. Alicia, you got to trust your husband. That's ultimately what people said.
Exactly.
I just think it's really weird that you didn't mention anything for 6 months. I mean, that's a long time.
You don't need to be so insecure, you know? I love you, and I'm not doing anything shady. I'm just getting a massage. It's okay. If you want to go get, you know, a massage certificate and start giving me the massages,
I thought he was going to say, like, to, like, a young, hot guy.
Oh, I was like,
all right, that makes
sense.
If you want to go get certified in massage, get out of here. What are you talking about, Frank?
Like, don't call me insecure on the radio.
Here's an idea. Talk to your hot therapist there, Frank. Find out whether or not she's engaged. Now you guys can make it really weird and do it all together in the room.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,700. Hey, Cheryl, you ready to play today?
I am.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Cheryl.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, so Raven's walking out of here. This studio is soundproof, so when that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. All right. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do it?
I'm ready to do it.
Okay. Number one, a trailer was released for an upcoming movie starring Will Ferrell titled Stray. The movie is about dogs turned into foul-mouthed superheroes. Norman Bridwell wrote a series of books about a big red dog. What was that dog's name?
Clifford.
Number two, Jennifer Grey says that the diet culture is an epidemic, and she stars in a Lifetime movie talking about it. Jennifer Grey played the role of Baby in what iconic 80s movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Number three, Rihanna revealed that she's pregnant with baby number two during the halftime performance last night. She has one child with ASAP Rocky. This will be her second. Is it a boy or a girl that she has?
She has a boy.
Number four, speaking of babies, Blake Lively posted a picture of herself with her husband and mother-in-law yesterday, and fans were quick to notice she's not pregnant anymore, which means she gave birth to baby number four. Who is her husband?
Ryan Reynolds.
And number five, before the anthem, Babyface performed America the Beautiful and Cheryl Lee Ralph sang Lift Every Voice and Sing. Which country superstar sang the national anthem?
Chris Stapleton.
Nice job, Cheryl. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Cheryl got all five.
Oh, okay, Cheryl, $1,700. Let's see how I do.
Now, here's the question I had when I finished these questions. Did I make them too easy today for you, Raven? So let's
find
see.
Out.
Number one, a trailer was released for an upcoming movie starring Will Ferrell titled Stray. The movie is about dogs turned into foul-mouthed superheroes. Norman Bridwell wrote a series of books about a big red dog named what?
The big red dog, that's Clifford.
Yes. Number two, Jennifer Grey says that a diet culture is an epidemic and stars in a Lifetime movie discussing it. Jennifer Grey played the role of Baby in what iconic 80s movie?
Dirty Dancing, of course.
Yes. Number three, Rihanna revealed that she's pregnant with baby number two during her halftime performance. She has one child with A$AP Rocky. This will be her second. Is it a boy or a girl?
Baby boy.
That's right. Number four, speaking of babies, Blake Lively posted a picture of herself with her husband and mother-in-law yesterday, and fans were quick to notice that she's not pregnant anymore.
Wow.
Which means she gave birth to baby number four. Who's her husband?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. And number five, before the anthem, Babyface performed America the Beautiful and Cheryl Lee Ralph sang Lift Every Voice and Sing. And which country superstar sang the national anthem?
Chris Stapleton. He killed it.
Cheryl, you guys tied at five today. Here's the thing, though. You go into the Wall of Champions, and what that means is when we get five people that get five right and tie Raven, then you get to come back for Champions Week. So you'll get your shot again.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
In the meantime, you're going to get a T-shirt.
Right.
Cool. It's Cheryl. I can't be Raven.
But no. You might get them next time. So hold on. We'll get all your info.
Yeah, better luck. Enjoy that shirt. $1,800 tomorrow, Anna.